So I want to now move forward. I figured that after recognizing the glory of God and beholding His glory with unveiled faces, I thought it was just natural now that we should preach, that I should preach a message that I'm entitling, "Don't Just Stand There Gazing." Everybody say, "Don't just stand there." Don't stand there gazing. All right, so we're going to open up our Bibles in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to preach just a little differently today because we're going to go through quite a bit of Scripture, and I'm going to preach an expository message breaking down some of these Scriptures and bringing out some points that I think will bless your heart. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, it doesn't mean that your version is right or wrong. It just means that it's a different translation, right? We believe that the Word of God is absolutely, totally, 100% infallible in the original language as it was written. And we have English, and we don't speak Greek, and we don't speak Hebrew. And so what you have is a translation from the Greek and Hebrew. And so there might be a few little variances that we see in the translation, but we believe that God's Word is absolute truth. Amen? Are you in Acts chapter 1? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, And after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days." How long after Jesus' resurrection and before the ascension was he seen among men?
40
For 40 days. Everybody say 40. All right, so for 40 days, Jesus was walking this earth with his disciples and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus had 40 days to minister and speak to his church. And during that 40 days, he chose to speak on the kingdom of God. That's pretty good stuff. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem." What did he tell them to do? Don't leave Jerusalem. Now, at this time, they are standing on the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And so Jesus tells them, do not depart from Jerusalem. But what? But wait. For what? For the promise of the Father, which he said to you, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, we know that he is speaking of the Acts chapter 2 event that took place just about 7 days after his ascension into heaven. Remember, it came on the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost in a powerful way. Pentecost meaning 50. It was 50 days after Passover. And Jesus was put to death on the cross on the day of preparation, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about 3 hours before Passover began, all right? And so 50 days, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus walked the earth for 40 days, but he was in the tomb for 3 days, right? So how long of a period of waiting time did the disciples have? About 1 week, right? About 7 days. About 1 week. Why don't you elbow your neighbor if they're close to you and say, can you wait a week? Well, there was about 500 people on the mountain when Jesus was taken up. And there was only 120 left a week later. That's the reality of it. Let's keep going. And so he says, you got to wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It was on the minds of every Jewish person. They were waiting for the Messiah to come in order to restore the kingdom back to Israel. It's what the Messiah is supposed to do. So they said, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And what was Jesus' response? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Let me help you out on that. He said, it is not for you to know the times, which is chronos, which means the sequence of times, hours, days, minutes, right? So you're not to know the hours or the days or the minutes, nor what is translated here, the seasons, which is actually the word kairos, which does not talk about the quantity of time, but rather the quality of time. And he says, so basically, it's not for you to know when I'm going to establish the kingdom back to Israel again. It's not for you to know that time. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, he says that you will not know the times that it is not for you to know the day or the hour, right, in which these things are coming to pass. God says you're not going to know the day. If anybody tells you the day or the hour, they're lying to you. Hello. You will not know the day or the hour. And in this situation, he says, and you will not know the kairos either. In other words, the quality of that time. This is what he's saying. There are things in God that you will never know until it happens. You won't know it fully. You will not know the full extent. Another translation you could say in that is, this time, this season is epic. It's epic. We don't know exactly what it's all going to be like. Our eye will never be able to, in the vision of our mind's eye, we can never envision how great that day is going to be. But we know it's going to be epic, right? It's big. I want to tell you, there are three different epic times of Jesus that we need to pay attention to. And you don't know these times until they come to fulfillment. One time frame is the time when Jesus was born to the time that he died on the cross, resurrected, and ascended. That one period of time. The Israel did not know what they had in front of them. They did not understand how epic it was, the time that they were living in. In fact, Jesus was weeping over the nation or over the city of Jerusalem. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have only understood how epic this time is, this time that I'm with you, you don't see it yet. They didn't understand it yet. So here all of the disciples are looking, they're recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. And in their carnal mind, the Messiah is coming for one reason, and that is to reestablish Israel, the kingdom back to Israel again. That's what they were looking for. And so think about this in the eyes of the disciples going through that time. They wanted the Messiah to restore Israel's kingdom, to break the powers of Rome and the oppression of a godless society over their nation. And so Jesus, they looked at him and they're like, this could be the Messiah. I believe this is the Messiah. And then what happens? They put him on a cross. Let down. Right? Man, we wanted the kingdom to come. Well, then 3 days later, what happens? Jesus resurrects again. Woo! Hey, the Messiah is here. He died. He resurrected from the grave. Come on, Jesus. It's time. Let's get our swords. Let's get our army together. Let's take the kingdom. They didn't understand how epic it was until it was over. Because here they are now on this mountain. And Jesus is telling them, guys, don't go anywhere yet. Stay in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. And I believe it's probably going in one ear and out the other, and they're not even really paying much attention to what's going on, right? Because they're just thinking about, is it time? Is it time to take the kingdom? Right? And Jesus says, it's not about you knowing the day or the hour or how great this time is. He says, that is in the control and the authority of our God. You don't even know it yet until you're through it. You won't know how great it is. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. Now think about this for a minute. The first segment of time is the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The death, the burial, the resurrection. They're saying, yes, it's time to take the kingdom. But then he hangs on a cross. He resurrects. Yes, it's time to take the kingdom. And then he goes up. Boy, I just don't get it. They're standing there thinking, this was the Messiah. They didn't realize how epic the season was. They didn't understand the fullness of what Jesus accomplished in that season until they were fully through that season and then into the next. And so here Jesus is taken up on a cloud. And watch this. They were watching, and he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men by them stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, here's the message title, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? What are you looking at? Can you think about it in that moment? I mean, have you ever seen someone beam me up, Scotty? Take it up into heaven on a cloud. I've never seen this before. What kind of questions are going on in their mind? What kind of things are they trying to understand about what they're seeing in that moment? They don't understand. Jesus is supposed to take us to restore the kingdom. But there he goes. You know, they probably thought what goes up must come down. So they just stood there watching. Like, I've never seen this before. And it took the angels of the Lord to say, why are you standing there gazing into heaven? Why are you just looking bewildered, not knowing what to do? They were very carnal in their thinking, like many of us are, carnal in our thinking. We look at things so much in the view of natural rather than in the perspective of the supernatural and the spiritual. Why are you standing there gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So here they are standing on the edge of this first period of this epic period of time of Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. And the angels are pointing to another period of time where he's going to come again. And when he comes again, he's going to establish the kingdom that they've been waiting for. But there's a period of time in between. a period of time that they should not ignore. They shouldn't just stand there gazing. They need to embrace the time, the season, this epic moment that Jesus spoke to them about right before he left. You see, instead of mourning his departure, they should have opened their heart to the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Instead of mourning what Jesus did at one time, can you hear the conversations? Boy, you know what? Back when Jesus was walking the earth with us, you know, remember we had 5,000 people that were there. Now we're sitting in this little room with 120. Remember back then when Jesus did all these great things, we didn't realize how epic it was. We were living in that time until it's done. But now, and we're looking for a time when he's coming again, but where are we now? We're kind of lost. They needed to embrace that moment. Instead of mourning his departure, they should have prepared themselves and the world for his triumphant return. Isn't that what the church is called to do? Hello. Isn't that what the church is called to do? Instead of mourning his ascension, we should be preparing for his return. Glory to God. You see, the suffering and the resurrection and the ascension of our Savior Jesus Christ becomes now the Holy Spirit baptizer and power indweller. And then he becomes our soon and coming King who restores the kingdom to Israel. There are these three epic seasons. Which one are we in? Are we in the first one? It's not a trick question. No. Why? Because Jesus came, he died, he resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven. That epic time is over. It's past. We can look to that time and we can say, whoo, Jesus was awesome when he walked this earth. Are we in this one? Has he returned yet? Are we living in his millennial kingdom where Israel has been established? The Israel of promise, which you and I are a part of, has been established? No. Where are we at? We're right here. What should we do? Where should our focus be? What should our eyes be on? It should be on this epic time that we will not understand fully until we're all the way through it. Because what God is doing in this moment is greater than what you imagine, greater than what you can envision. He says, greater things will I do, right? And greater things will you do if I go to the Father and I send the Holy Spirit baptizer. Where are we now? We are in the time of the epic event of the Holy Spirit, who is still working on the earth in and through Spirit-filled believers. Put that screen up there and I want you to read this with me. Are you ready? The next screen. Oops, sorry. That one. Nope, back. We're going to read here first. Nope, go through forward. That's what happened. Here we go. Nope, back one. Never mind. I thought it was there. Let's go back to the scripture there. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. 12 through 14. This is what he says. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that they called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room. So in the middle time, they needed to embrace the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's the season they were in then. Is that also the season we're in now? Has that season changed? No, we are in the time of the church being empowered by the Spirit of God and the Spirit moving through the church. And he said they went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James. All of these continued in one accord in prayer and in supplication. So what did they do when they showed up there? They got a prayer meeting. A 7-day prayer meeting. And in 7 days, they were all in one Honda Accord. How'd they get 120 people in that Honda? I've always wondered. They were all in one accord, which means they were in what? Unity. One heart, one mind, one focus, one purpose. Do you realize that when you're in one heart, one mind, one purpose, one focus, and you're focused on obeying what Jesus told you to do and receiving the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God, do you realize that when you get in that place, the Bible says there's a blessing that comes upon that unity? Whoo, they could not miss what God was about to do. They could not miss being in the middle of this thing. They had to go and get to the place where God told them to go. Not only these disciples, but also the women. Woo, all you women get liberated right here. Even the women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. You see, this is the great thing about Jesus, the great thing about being a Christian. It's kind of like being in America, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, we should all have the same rights. Well, in the cross and through Jesus Christ, we all have the same rights. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You get the same rights. Well, Pastor, don't you know that God made each person differently? You know, man is not the same as women. Yes, I realize that. God created us differently. But when he empowered us, he empowered us unanimously. Are you listening to me? You have the same ability, women, to receive the power of God in the same measure that the men do. We got one woman that just got free. It's true. You have the ability to receive the fullness of God. They all were in the same place. They all were on the mountain. They all heard the words. They all went to the same place. They showed up there with a 7-day prayer meeting, waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you. Sometimes we get so caught up with where we used to be that we don't embrace the place that we are supposed to be. If the disciples would have lived in this first epic season and never embraced the next, they would have never fulfilled the purpose that would lead them to what it was they were all anticipating and expecting. Elbow your neighbor and say, embrace the season you're in. Don't just stand there gazing. It's time to move to where God has us to go. So what do you do in between the gazing point and the glory? What should you do? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. In these times, this is what you must do. You must have faith. You've got to be constant. You've got to be faithful. You have to follow his instructions. I'm sure that when they were all standing up gazing and the angel said, what are you doing standing there gazing? He's coming back again. The disciples all looked around and they go, well, what are we supposed to do? And somebody said, remember, I think I heard Jesus say something, an instruction to us before he got taken up into heaven and disappeared. What was it that he said? Oh, that's right. Tarry here in Jerusalem. Stay right here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Father. What are we supposed to do? Let's get back to the Word. Let's get back to the instruction of Jesus. Let's find out what the next thing is for us by obedience to his Word. And so they went to the upper room and they stayed there for 7 days. And on the day of Pentecost, when it fully came, there was a sound as a mighty rushing wind from heaven, and it filled the place. And the Holy Spirit came down and baptized them all that were in the upper room. And they all receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They all begin to speak with other tongues and magnifying the Lord. 3,000 people got born again. The church ignited and revival took place because they embraced what God said to embrace. To embrace who? The Holy Spirit. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a second, Pastor. Isn't that just for Pentecostals? No. This is for all of those that are called. As many as are far off, it even says. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is the season you're in. You have to embrace Him fully and allow Him to start working through your life fully. How many of you are ready to be a vessel for the Lord? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 8. What do we need to do in between the time of gazing and glory? Well, Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 gives us some instruction. He says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. What are you supposed to do? Remember. Everybody say remember. And consider the outcome of their way of life. What's the second thing you're supposed to do? Consider. And imitate their faith. Imitate what? Their faith. And then it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What should we do in this in-between time? We need to embrace the Holy Spirit, and we need to remember, we need to consider, and we need to imitate the faith of those that have gone on before us. I'm here to tell you there's been great legacy that's been left for us. And I want to encourage you over this next week to take some time reading Hebrews chapter 11 through chapter 13. Okay, 11, 12, and 13. In these three chapters, you will see the legacy of faith that was left for us as believers. The Old Testament saints, they blazed a trail for us. And their lives were a testimony that we can follow. What they had to go through in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of what we're going to go through spiritually in the New Testament. They had to walk a path to Mount Sinai, but we're walking a narrow path to Mount Zion. Amen? And there's great things that God wants to accomplish through us, but we've got to be able to pay attention to those that have gone on before us. All right? Some people have a hard time reading or looking at those that have gone on before us because as we oftentimes see their faith, we often focus on their failures. Help me now, somebody. If you look through the Scripture is full of people that are full of faith. But you know what they're also full of? Failures. Failures. I love it how that the Lord, in the season that we're in, where we need to embrace Him and He's going to flow through us and He's going to use us, He says, what you need to do in the in-between time is you need to focus on those that have gone before you and imitate their faith. Consider their lives and imitate their faith. Don't imitate their failure. Imitate their faith. They left a legacy for us. You think of David. Wasn't David a man after God's own heart? When you think of King David, many of you get a smile on your face. King David, he fought the giant. King David, he killed his thousands. David was a worshiper unto the Lord. David was a great king. He was also a peeping Tom and a first-degree murderer. Failure. But we can forgive his failure because we see his faith. Right? Some people can. Should we? Yeah. Consider his ways. Let me tell you, folks, when you look at David, consider his way and imitate his faith. Don't stand on the balcony looking at the neighbors. Amen. Amen. And if you mess up there, don't kill their husband. Just saying. All right? Don't imitate their failure. Imitate their faith. Praise God for some great men of faith, right? Great men of faith. You've got Abraham, but he also got drunk, right? We've got different situations that you see the faith and then you see the failure. And what does that do for us? It helps us to realize that in this season, between the gazing and the glory, we have an opportunity to exercise our faith. Does that mean you're going to fail at times? Absolutely, because everyone that has ever gone before you also failed. But their faith is what God focused on. And they received forgiveness, and they received mercy, and they received the grace to live a life that was righteous unto the Lord. Amen. You may have been sitting. It's time to get up. You may have fallen. You might have been hurt. You might feel like you don't have the strength to move forward. You might feel like you've strayed too far to come back. The devil wants you to feel alone. The devil wants you to feel abandoned. The devil wants you to feel isolated. But you need to know this. You have not gone too far or been through too much to rise up and be counted among the righteous. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that today. You've not gone too far to stand up, to rise up, and to be counted among the righteous. We've got to unite with other Christians. We've got to bear each other's burdens. We've got to strengthen the things that are weak in our lives. And we've got to live our life for the glory of God. Crush the shallow. Push into the deep. And let the Holy Spirit work mightily through us. I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures. And this we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 12. If you can go there, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 18. And we're going to let the scriptures really speak for themselves, because we need to imitate the faith that have gone before us, and we need to realize that God is not finished with us yet. The only thing that stops the Lord from working in our life is us, period. The only thing that stops God from doing great things in our church is us, period. If we will embrace this moment and allow the Holy Spirit to move, we will see greater things than we have ever experienced before. And when we get all the way through it, we'll look back and say, that was epic. That was epic. That was amazing what the Lord did then. Right? Let's read these scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burns with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, and see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and with godly fear. It's important that you realize there are those that have gone before you. They fought, they failed, and they won. And now they're a great host that is looking over the sill of heaven, and they're watching. We are surrounded by a great company of those that have gone before us, of witnesses. And what are they doing? They are rooting for you. They're saying, now lay aside the weights that are besetting you. Put aside those things. David's up in heaven and he's saying, come on, you can do it. Yes, but I'm tempted. So was I, but you can overcome. Look at my faith. Don't look at my failure. Let faith rise up. You can become great in the Lord if you will pay attention to the faith of those that have gone before you. Not just in Bible times, but also in our times or in recent history. There's been great men and women of God who have exercised faith in their lives. And you might study their life and you've seen great men and women of God also fail. But in our day, once somebody fails, we say, well, we discount their faith. We discount their faith. And I'm not saying that we should celebrate the failures of people, but I'm here to tell you, listen, you can follow the faith of those that have gone before us. There's something you can gain when you start focusing on the commitment and the love of God. Because what is faith? Faith is truly a deep conviction that the Word of God is absolutely true. And it will come to pass for your life. His Word is true for you. Is He coming again? Yes. What do we do now? Let's embrace the move of the Holy Spirit and let Him work through us, purifying us and getting the world ready for the return of our Savior. He's coming again, but we're still in this season. We're still in this season. You're doing an injustice if all you do is look at that season back there and not embrace the season you're in. You're doing injustice if all you do is look ahead to that season that's coming and not embrace the season that you're in. Don't just stand there gazing at one season or the other. Stand and follow the word of the Lord and follow the faith of those that have gone before us. Amen. Let's have our worship team come up. Stand up on your feet if you would. Lord Jesus, we're so privileged to be in your presence this morning. Because there's not a one of us in our own self-righteousness that deserves to be here. But your grace and your blood and your mercy that you've extended to us gives us the ability to stand. So, Father, I pray that those that may have been feeling that they've been counted out because they cannot look past their own failures, I pray that today they will rise up above their failures and they will truly become new creations in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will grab a hold of the hearts of your people and that we will recognize, Lord, that our job now is to follow your word and embrace your spirit, to let nothing hinder the moving of your spirit through our lives and through your church. So we surrender our hearts to you. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. We ask you, Lord, to wash us. We ask you to purify us. And we ask you to empower us. that we might be your witnesses. And we might be light and salt. That we might prepare our hearts and prepare the hearts of this world for the next epic season. That's in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.